As the Father's heart is here, and he's calling people home. You know that every single, I don't know everybody here today, but I know this, that you and I, not one of us, get out this building without realizing that you were made in the image of God for a purpose, and it's this. You were born in this world to reflect who he is to the rest of creation. That's why you were born. It's not to fulfill your dreams or travel the world or get married or have children. It's to reflect the one who breathed life into your nostrils and gave you life. So before you leave that back door, my heart is that each and every one of us would have a proper understanding of the reason for life. For those of us that are born again, believers, followers of Jesus, we're already on the way of salvation. You will know that that's you because something will have happened in your spirit. That part of you that comes alive when the Holy Spirit of God touches you and you meet his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the only way to salvation. He is the only road and he's the only Lord and he's the only King. Everything else is counterfeit. And you'll see a lot of that here in Sea Point on the Atlantic seaboard. A lot of counterfeit, a lot of Fong Kong. You ever heard about Fong Kong products? It's the fake. You know that pleather jacket from the station? It's not real. Everything outside of Jesus is Fong Kong. There's no other way to our Creator. There's no other way to our Maker. There's no other way to the Father that loves his creation, but through his Son. I hope that we get that today. And that if each of us walks out encouraged and reminded, and if we didn't know that this morning your spirit is going to be quickened, regenerated, those are big words, but actually made alive. How it was explained to me and to my wife, Taryn. I don't know where she disappeared to. Kids' church. There she is, at the back. Thanks, Tasman. So what happened with us was we were saved. Some of you here over Easter, you heard my wife's amazing, incredible story of coming to know the Lord and what she's been saved out of. You know, it's not scary for God to save you out of a lot of crazy stuff. And it's not a worry for him where you've come from. We've got people here that have been living on the street, have been drug addicts. We've had people from the Narcotics Anonymous group that meets at the top of the school walk in here and experience the Lord and find family. It doesn't bother God where we've come from, what we've done on the weekend, where we've been, what festival we've been at, what we've done with our lives, what crazy things in the world we've just done the past weekend. It's easy for him. But we must come in on his terms. Okay, and that's what I hope I'm going to get across with some scriptures from the Bible. We will get to some. And some really old English written by some churches in the late 1800s. You ready for that? You're going to try to follow me just now on that. Okay. All right. Wonderful. Because there's an urgency. Do you not sense the urgency in the world? Guys, the cracks are everywhere in the world. There's nothing that you can hold on to any longer, if there ever was. No politics, no academics, no world leaders. There's no country you can go. Even Australia is cracking. You can't go to the supermarket anymore in Australia without, you know, watching your back. I'm sensitive to what's happening, but you can't just say, I'm going to go to this country now because it's a little bit safer. It's not. The only place to be is with the lion. Yeah, safe place. Even though he's good, not tame. Safe, I don't know. He's wild, but he's the place you want to be in him. You want to know him. You want to have his roar over you, which sustains you and which certifies that you are his and that you truly are a son or a daughter. And let life, because the Bible says that even though we die, those of us that know him, that are surrendered to Jesus, even though we die, we live. Paraphrase. I love that. Simple gospel. Liesl, even though we die, we live. It's joyful. I know Liesl is truly born again. We've walked with her for many years. I can say that. Isaac, even though we die, bro, one day you might be at my hospital bed. I might be at yours. God might take one of us quickly. Let's pray it does. Boy, that will be the end of this life, but then we go on living in paradise. I said to someone this morning, paradise, what's it like? We have no clue. The Bible says our minds can't imagine. Eddie will think of the greatest wave. You know, Adrian will be thinking of speeding back to KZN in his vehicle, and he loves the road. He'll be thinking of paradise, glorious fields outside, beautiful weather. It's like, this is like the level of experience that we have, the beauty around us, the ocean, marriage, children. It's nothing in comparison to what God has for us. But only those are truly born again. Amen? Okay, so let's have a look at a statement of faith. If I can call it a statement of faith, it's from 1833. It's about as old as the school building. So when you see the dust, don't judge us. 1833 is a long time ago. I think the school's about 1890 or something like that. But this statement of faith, it's old. There's some old English in it. So stay with me. We're going to put it on the board so that you can follow. I'm going to cut it up in halves. We're going to do the first half and then the second half. And I'm going to read it slowly so that we can see what is really important in this life when it comes to matters of faith and salvation and the Father's heart towards us and life eternal. We believe, so this was written firstly by a Baptist church, leaders in a Baptist church in America in 1833, and they had a wonderful, just stumbled upon this beautiful statement of faith. This is one portion, and it's simply looking at two words, repentance and faith, which are at the foundations of our salvation and of us truly knowing God and Him truly knowing us. So, we believe, they're the words, that repentance and faith are sacred duties and also inseparable graces wrought in our souls by the regenerating Spirit of God, whereby being deeply convinced of our guilt, danger, and helplessness and of the way of salvation by Christ, comma, there's more. We then turn to God with unfeigned contrition, confession, and supplication for mercy. At the same time, we heartily receive the Lord Jesus as our prophet and our priest and our king. And we rely on Him alone as the only and all-sufficient Savior. We can go off then and come back to it a little bit later. Tim, thanks. So when Jesus started His ministry on earth, I'll give you the scripture, you don't have to put it up. Mark 1 verse 15. He said, repent and believe the good news. So the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to live the life that we couldn't live. He died the death. We saw that over this wonderful Easter time we had. The death that we could never die. And then God, in His power, raised His Son from death. Gave Him life. And He became the first fruits of all that will have life beyond this life. He went first. He opened the way for us. Those of us that will surrender our hearts to Him. But Jesus came saying, repent and believe, right in the beginning of announcing the good news and the gospel. The good news and the gospel, it's not a package without those words, repentance and faith. And I'm going to look at those two and hope that here today, there will be none of us that haven't come into Him properly, haven't had a birth, so to speak, a spiritual birth, a regeneration of your spirit. Oh, I must go back to what I was saying about Taryn and I. That's a dear friend and a man who actually married us. He's gone to be with the Lord now. He spoke to me about my spirit being dead, and he used the word dormant. That helped me the most. So we all have a spirit man. But he said, Neil, it's dormant, like a volcano that could erupt. It can't erupt because it's dead. And I was like, okay, I get that. And then the Holy Spirit would come, and there would be a bubbling and a quickening, a regeneration. And upon your salvation, that's what happened to the two of you. And that's why we bubble up. Like a volcano, it's a powerful thing when the Spirit of God enters us and makes our spirit come alive by His Spirit, and He then lives in us. And the evidence was that we used to shake around a lot, and He used to shake around a lot, and He prayed in tongues, and we learned to pray in heavenly languages. There was evidence that the Holy Spirit had made our spirits alive. We knew that we were in His family, that we were in His love, and that we were secured forever. There's an evidence, beautiful evidence. And I love that these guys took the time to make a statement with so much deep old English that would allow us to read over and over and over again to truly understand what we have in Christ. And my hope is that we get that today. So Jesus said, repent and believe the good news, Mark 1 verse 15. But before good news, there's bad news. So stick with me. And the bad news must be bad news, but we'll go to the good news straight off the bad news. Is that okay? So just a refresher of the bad news. We, every single one of us, we are all guilty. Say we are all. Say all with me. All. All. None of us get off. None of us get out the back door. Scot-free. We're all guilty. So Romans 2 verse 23, you don't have to go there. The Bible says, we have all, New Testament, fallen short of the glory of God. There's none of us who don't fall short. You know, no matter how good we are, we think we are, how much we've done, we think we can do, we, according to God's word, which is the truth, we fall short. We can't make it alone. We're guilty as charged, which comes through in that word. You see that in that statement. It said, we're guilty, we're in danger, and we're helpless. Three things. We're guilty, we're in danger, and we're helpless. Okay, so we're guilty. Unfortunately, that's just the truth. It's a wonderful realization because it brings us humbly to a place of, well, I can't do it. And we begin to unpack that school bag. Because often with that picture of the school bag, thanks, Andre, that the Lord said to us we should bring that school bag and drop it at the door, not pick it up again. And he said, don't take it out, which I found very interesting because I think in that school bag is not a lovely lunchbox, sorry, or not a little milkshake that mommy packed in for school that week. But you know what's in there? And I sense that this is what the Spirit is leading this morning. Some of us in that school bag, we don't know that we're helpless. We think we're quite helpful on our own. And in that school bag are things that we've picked up to try and live this life, to work out our salvation, something in our own strength. The Lord is saying, leave that bag here. It's full surrender this morning. It's full reliance on Him. Okay. We've missed the mark. I'm going to read. We can maybe look at the scripture together. It's a bit longer. From Matthew 5, 20, verse 21 and 22. Matthew 5, verse 21 and 22. There it is. If you've heard that, you've heard what it said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, raka, which means you fool, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. So raka means worthless, useless, you fool, along those lines. So keep that up there for a moment. I know when we switch on the TV and we see the kind of... there's so much murder in the world. Let's just be honest. It's almost like life does not matter. It's become, you have to watch that we're not desensitized by the amount that it happens and just the senselessness of that. But we go, oh, murder. Yeah, I fall short. I'm not going to murder anybody. Like this is like the worst thing to actually go. But look what Jesus said. And he said this a lot in this portion of scripture. He raised the bar. He was raising the bar then, and he's raised the bar for us who live in this generation. He said, if we just, what is that? If I'm just angry with a brother or sister, it's like murder. In my heart, if I think something, even before saying it to someone, if I've just thought it, he sees and he will judge every one of us for every thought we've had. And if there's thoughts in our heart that, you fool, hatred, anger towards people, it's in the realm of murder, in the standard that Jesus set. You know what that means for us, hey guys? We're in danger. Because our thoughts run wild. And we're being made perfect. We're being saved. We're those that are being saved. From the early book of Acts, from the early church, God added to the church's number those who were being saved. Which means from the very beginning, those added into the church are those that are being saved. They're in a process of being saved. And so are we. So we're not perfect yet. He's perfect. In Him we have all that we need to come to the Father, stare at Him in the face, to love Him, and He accepts us in His Son. But there's a standard that Jesus set that I think it's so high because He wants us to realize that there's nothing we can do. We're helpless in our own strength. We're all in danger without His sacrificial love and His surrender. So the bad news brings us again to the good news. Because faith in Jesus and repentance towards the Father brings us into the good news. We turn to God and repent. And that word repent is really we turn around. I was chatting with somebody recently who turned around from a habitual life habit, some drugs involved, many years. Love of God touched him, turned this way. Life is different, visibly different, speaking different. Everything is different about this person. Wow. Turned towards God, repented from his sin and brokenness, towards the Father. Beautiful decision, beautiful evidence in this life at the moment. And he's called us to the same lifestyle, hasn't he? So we can turn to God from our sin. And now we trust in Jesus alone and his grace and his sufficiency alone. Only his sufficiency. Now, I felt like also something, a picture of the school bag. It's sometimes in there, there's a little bit of our own sufficiency or a little bit that we're holding on to. It's a little bit difficult for me to give everything out of the school bag to him today. And I want to say this, that if there's any hint in us that thinks that we can be right with God in some way or the other in our own strength, we've got to understand and be reminded that we are helpless in our own strength. We're helpless before the Father. We can't even come to him and stare him in the face and know him outside of his son Jesus, who made the way for us. He's the all-sufficient one. We turn and then we trust, and that statement goes on to say, we trust and fully follow Jesus. Remember when Jesus touched Saul and he changed his name to Paul, became Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. He left much to follow Jesus. He was an educated man. He left his Jewishness, his traditions, his entire lifestyle. He left his academics. He left everything about his identity, his entire school bag. It was a pretty full school bag, you know. He'd been trained by the best, Jew of Jews. Yeah, he also had this. He was pretty good at killing God's people, murdering Christians. He's a pretty accomplished bad guy. He's a pretty accomplished worldly person. And you know what? When Jesus encountered him, when he called him, it became Christ alone for him. Paul says all throughout the news, it was Christ alone. There's nothing else. There's nothing else that I can preach but Jesus and the cross and his power. That entire school bag, everything he had, it was his strength given to the Lord. And he followed him wholehearted, never looked back. Think of others. Think of the early disciples. Every one of them were called out of something, some sort of a career, some sort of a family, some sort of background. All their dreams, all their backgrounds, even their careers. But it was a line in the sand, and they followed Jesus wholeheartedly and consistently and never relied on anything of their old life again. It's a clear line in the sand. So what needs to be given to the Lord Jesus today? Maybe for some of us, it's for the very first time, the reins of my life, entirely yours today, Jesus. If that's you, you'll know. It is something of you holding on still. That salvation has been at your doorstep, fingertips on the tips of your tongue, but you haven't surrendered the reins of your life, which comes at a cost, of course. But with bad news like that, the reins are yours, Lord. The good news far outweighs. Eternal life and paradise with you through your Son, I'll follow you today. Just allow your heart to be challenged by the Lord today. Because tomorrow may be too late. There's an urgency in the world, absolute urgency in the world. And he's calling us again afresh today. Remember that salvation and journeying with God. And this needs to be said, I think, in our culture, maybe more than in other cultures. Salvation is not just I prayed a prayer. It's not that. Eternal life, salvation, being a child of God through his Son, Jesus Christ's sacrifice, is not just saying a prayer. It's not reaching a certain age in our culture or a right to adulthood and I've hit 16 or 21 and now I'm in. It's not that. Needs to be said. Or you change culture and you're now more of a Westerner. Maybe you're from the East or you're more an African culture and you're coming to a Western culture and you visit churches like this and therefore I'm a Christian now. I'm a follower of the way. It does not make you saved, born again. It doesn't give you a regenerated spirit. It doesn't give you certainty. Following your mom and dad's traditions. Maybe they did know the Lord and love the Lord, and just by virtue of being in that family, it doesn't make you saved, doesn't make you a follower of Jesus. Remember that it's you alone and me alone that will stand before Jesus. He won't call me together with Taryn, even though we're going to spend our whole lives here together, a large chunk of our life, in a moment that will be over. Trust you'll be my friend in heaven, babes. My eternal friend. So we're going to make use of, if we can get the gift of marriage, if you get the gift of marriage, make the most of it here. Because there we're friends. So enjoy it. And enjoy the riches of marriage. Andre, come on. Make the most of it. Because there, eh? Always be my best friend. There we go. Confirmation. But Jesus is going to stand with me alone, and then Taryn alone, and then our children alone. So you're going to have children. Think long and hard, because there's a deep responsibility there in raising our kids to know him. That's all that matters. Not their university, not their sport. You know what? Even their health. Even if they limp through life with health issues and all sorts of things, as long as our children have their spirits regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. And in this world, I don't want to send them to university. Have you seen the university campuses? Oh, my word. Like, Lord, there's so much to consider. I think things that we hold valuable, you know. And some of these things can be really important and helpful. But ultimately, every single one of us will stand before Jesus, the judge, Jesus, the King and the Lord. And he will either say, I knew you. And then he will talk to us about our life on earth and our deeds and our faith and our decisions. And there'll be that sort of judgment of, will we link to our rewards and our heavenly rewards? We can look at that another time. But some, he will say, to know you. Where? There's an urgency to know the Lord Jesus. Amen? There's a deep work that he wants to do in us. Can we look at that, Tim? Do you mind if we look at that that old English statement of faith again? I just want to touch on something there. So there's those words. We believe that repentance and faith are sacred duties. Sacred means they are holy. They're awesome and wonderful duties for believers like you and I, and for others that we'll share the good news with. There's a holiness about repentance and faith. Also, they're inseparable graces, so they work together. You can't have faith in Jesus, but you've never repented of missing the mark, and you've not come to the Father and said, sorry, I've missed the mark, I'm coming to you in repentance. Because they work together, they're inseparable graces. And graces means they come from the Lord. He actually gave us the ability to have faith and believe in his Son. And he gave us the ability to repent and to humbly say, I'm sorry, I've got these things wrong, and I come to you. So it's his grace, and his grace that's flowing today, even in your hearts today. Amen? It'll be something of his grace wrought into our souls. I love that word. We don't hear that word anymore, but it literally means worked into our souls. You talk of wrought iron. Some iron is pounded into shape. Our souls, sometimes there's a pounding of the grace of God to bring faith and repentance by wroughting it into our souls. It's his work. It must be his work. So if he's been speaking to you, if he's been working, allow him to do his business, because he does it best. In fact, he's the only one who can bring us to salvation. Okay, by the Spirit of God, whereby being deeply convinced of our guilt, our danger, and our helplessness, there's the bad news. And you see, he is the one who convinces us. We can hear the bad news, even the truth of the Bible can go out, his word can go out. But we need the Spirit of God to bring a conviction into our souls. I really am helpless. I'm beginning to see that I'm guilty as charged. I can't get out of here without realizing that nothing I've ever done, even the good things, could ever put me right with my Creator, with my God and Maker. Guilty. And I'm in danger if I don't get right with you, God, because I don't know what tomorrow brings. And I'm really helpless without you. And of the way of salvation, I love that. Salvation is a road and a journey and a way. It always has been. The early church was established. Look through the Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts in your Bibles is so beautiful. And I hope we can work through it as a congregation together at some point. It's been sitting on my heart. I still want to bring it to my eldership team. And if we find direction, we'll go that route, hopefully, this year still. But in the book of Acts, the way of salvation by Christ, it's Christ's work. But there's a way of salvation and a road and a journey which we begin on and we end on that day that He returns or takes us home. And then the second half, we turn to God. We turn to the Father. We come to our Maker with unfeigned contrition. Unfeigned. I have to remind myself, we're the good English teachers in this room. Genuine, unfeigned, with a genuine contrition, with a genuine sincerity, remorse, with genuine remorse, that actually I confess that I'm guilty. And for us to be genuinely remorseful, understanding our guilt before the Father, we need the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. So if He's working and if He's been speaking, just allow Him to continue. That's what He does. He did it with me in the back of a church service like this 20 years ago, 21 years ago. And I've never looked back as I've allowed the Spirit of God to move me and shape me and save me each day and keep me in His grip. Okay, here we go. And supplication for mercy. He supplies mercy to us. Doesn't give us what we deserve, which is punishment. Yeah, He put that on His Son, Jesus. The Father put it on His Son on the cross. He gave us mercy. And at the same time, we heartily receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We heartily give our lives or surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our prophet and our priest and our king. And we then rely on Him alone as the only and all-sufficient Savior. And that last bit, we must understand that He is King. He is Lord and ruler of our lives. He's priest. He takes the place of the Old Testament priest. He goes to the Father on our behalf. It was His sacrifice that made a way. He is the all-sufficient priest now who will lead us into the presence of Father God. He's also the prophet. Brings the voice of God. You know that He prays for His children, for us that know the Lord. He's praying for us even now, interceding for us. Imagine that. Imagine that Jesus is battling for you and I. Sometimes we think it's paradise and it's just, there's no days off for our Lord Jesus. I think when we see the urgency in the world, sometimes I wonder how urgent does it look in heaven? The urgency of His prayers and interceding for us to come into all that He bought us for. All His dreams for Isaac and Grace, Michelle, His dreams for you. Amazing. He's praying for you, interceding for you, fighting for you, wanting you to come into all that He designed you to walk in. All right.